All right. It's September 3rd, 1988. We have with us Nona Moisen. Nona Moisen. Okay. And where were you born?
In New York.
When were you born?
June 21st, 1934.
And what's your permanent address?
11 Harvest Streets, Venice, California, 9391.
And as you know, I have told you a little bit about me in this book that I like to call Attic. Photograph on one page, and on the other page, I still have kind of like your story, like your childhood, your pain, your hope, your experience, your strength, your attributes, and that kind of thing, and of course, your spiritual path, and what you would like to see in the next year, so that it's important to have in your life, and I think that's going to help other people. Realize about us that we live happy without tomorrow. So, it's all yours. You can talk for 90 minutes about anything you want to do.
90 minutes?
I said if you want. I have a whole tape. You can talk for 10 minutes. I'm going to edit it down to one page.
I didn't know if it was red and white with these. This is kind of embarrassing.
Why is it embarrassing? Just kind of like you're in your home group and you're sharing with a new home group. You're just about to do your little pitch about you up in the home and California and this and that and stuff like this. And I'm lonely and,
you
like the lion with it.
I was born into a Catholic family with five brothers and another sister. My brother was a cab driver in New York City. And he was the one that did all the drinking, and my mother was the one that did all the nagging. And I remember that I always felt sorry for him, particularly really close to him. And I used to think inside of me that I would rather be like him than my mother. The end result, I'm more like my mother than I am my kids. Pretty much, you know, a lot of drinkers. We've got a lot of Irish women on my mother's side of the family, and we celebrated all kinds of things. And there was always a lot of booze, and we got in the habit of drinking after. Other people would leave their glasses there, and it was probably, really. And I remember it when I was real small, about 4 or 5, my father took me down to the saloon on the corner and to go down and buy, they call them buckets, to get some beer. And we'd stay at the bar for a while, and I would sip. From off the beer. And pretty soon they put me up on the bar and I would play the jukebox and I would dance and they would throw me. And I remember that I liked the way it felt because people were giving me a lot of attention. And as I went through my life, I think that I used to do everything I could in my power to get that attention. Committing crimes and doing the same things. I had sexually abused when I was around, somewhere around 5, and I was downhill from that point. I could never understand what took place. I remember going into big courts and looking at judges and being confined in the hospital. It was real scary. And nobody ever really, either they couldn't explain it or they didn't even try. I felt guilty. And what reinforced that was that after all that, I went to Catholic school, and the things that they told me made me believe I was guilty and that there was something wrong with me because I was not pure like they thought I was supposed to be. And I guess when I, by the time I got to about 12 years old, I was fledged alcoholic. I was never coming home and sleeping all around, and not with guys because I was, still kind of afraid about what happened when I was younger. But I never felt, I used to be into the sins. I always felt like I was on the outside looking at what everybody else was doing. And I guess I did that my whole life. And I never felt a part of. And what I was trying to do, I know today, was be loved and accepted. And I did a lot of things to make that happen. And never really was, never did happen. I used all the drugs I could get my hands on. I had a special love affair with heroin, and I had sickness of purpose. I dedicated my life to the next fix. I care about nothing but it. And all the time while this is going on, having kids, and neglecting them and treating them badly, like we do. But I didn't know I was doing it. What I thought I was doing was okay. I came to California because my mother had come out here to visit a brother, and she wrote me and told me to leave New York, that there wasn't any drugs out here, and that was 1957, and there wasn't a lot of heroin addicts at that time. But I could see, I'm sure they were here, but they were in the small town. I stopped using heroin, and I picked up a bottle and pills and a pot and speed, and spent the next 17 years doing that. With a short stay in New York 5 years after that time, where that's dramatic. I have 5 daughters. I never could teach them anything. I couldn't teach them that to get away from them. Thirteen and a half years ago, I was with somebody that was a real beautiful person. But I picked him, so I knew that I picked him from anywhere but picked him. And he brought me to my first meeting. So about a year and a half after that, I went in and out and decided that the last time that I couldn't beat the game. For the last time, I had 12 years without taking any chemicals. I didn't know when I got in recovery, if I wrote a list about, wrote a list of the things I wanted to do in recovery, I probably would have cut myself short because I got a lot more than I ever expected. And I also got a lot of pain that I didn't understand. But what I lost here was that loneliness and that emptiness, and what I gained was a lot of the love and acceptance that I was seeking on my own. And my relationship with my children is heavy out there in the bedroom. Maybe it isn't smooth, but it's very nice. I've done a lot of things in 12 years. I've been to a lot of states in this country. I've been involved in this program for myself. Totally. Life works for me. Make it happen, it happens. And I worked 8 years in recovery and decided that it was somebody else's turn. And I haven't regretted that decision. Got involved with doing some ceramics and paintings, and I really enjoy it. And I finished something that I started to create, and it turns out good. And I just involved myself in another business recently, and I feel like it's going to be real successful. And all the good feelings that are coming, just from doing all this stuff. It was like when I went to Catholic school and I was in the third grade, I got pneumonia a lot, and I was sick a lot, and got rheumatic fever, and I'd sit at the back of the room, and I knew that I didn't belong there. For some reason, everybody else in that room was going to do okay, and then I never was. And I don't know what happened to all the people from the third grade, but they had to go through some of the things that I put myself through. I really wanted to be, whatever. Grateful. I am thankful. I feel weird talking to you about this. Could you bring 10 or 15 people in here? Came to the convention, I brought my two oldest grandsons, and I was looking at them at the pool today, and they were jumping in, and they were saying to me, "Watch this, Grandma, watch this." And I remembered when they were real little, and I drug them to meetings. They're only 2 and 3, and now they're 15 and 16. And they're fine boys. And I thought today, when I was talking to the podium, that maybe I did it all, and they don't have to do any of it. And they don't drink, and they don't swear, and they're loving kids, just really new kids, and I'm so proud of them, and I know they're proud of me too. One time we were having a convention in Tennessee, and they asked me to send a tape. I didn't have a tape, and they said, "Can you record it?" But I couldn't do it. I tried and tried, and I never was successful at doing it. And they called me up, "So where's the tape?" And I said, I tell you what, that takes away and I'm going to get when you do that. We have to be so better because I just can't talk to you for that. You know? It's okay, I can.